Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. But not today, Shane. I'm Rebel Mike over here. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane, who goes by Hottie Toddy Shane. What's up, brother?
Hottie Toddy, gosh almighty. Let's talk a little Rebel ball. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, fall camp preview series marches on, Shane, with the Ole Miss Rebels. Mm-hmm. You missed it. We've done Oklahoma. We've done Alabama. Go back and check those out. Not right this second, but when we're done. And then even you may have missed this, Shane, because I know you were out yesterday. But we got Texas coming up tomorrow. Yep. And then we got Texas A&M. On Thursday. So locked and loaded fall camp preview series. And I got to be honest with you, Shane, this is the one that's been the most trouble trying to put together all the pieces. And you'll see that as we preview the Ole Miss Rebels. But man, how about it? Hottie Toddy, Shane.
Oh, I tell you what, brother, you know, this is a team that I have more questions about. It's like I want to write them off, but then I hear two or three good pieces of nugget and I'm like, you know what? I'm back in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't count them out yet. So this is one of the biggest fall camp previews because of all the new faces and new places, Mike, that I've looked forward to, because honestly, you're going to teach me something today. I feel it. All that work is going to help me today.
All right. Well, I certainly hope so, Shade. Let's start with a brief recap like we like to do. Last season, we went 10-3, 5-3 in the SEC. But you know what, Shane? Of course, we fell short of expectations. It was the last dance. It was playoff or bust. So I guess in a sense, it was bust. But hell, they were only 13 points away, Shane, from being undefeated. There's no moral victories or anything, but it was so devastating because last year we finally got what we have been missing during the Lane Kiffin era. We were missing that signature win over a marquee opponent, and we got it. We whooped Georgia's ass 28-10. Only problem, for the first time, we were dropping games we had no business losing. That's
exactly
not been the Lane Kiffin way here at Ole Miss. Losing to Kentucky 2017, losing at LSU 29-26, but the Rebels never trailed in that game until they did and lost it. And then the heartbreaker at Florida 24-17. But what stands out to you, Shane, about last season with the Ole Miss Rebels?
Close. You know, it's like they say, nothing counts except for, what is it? What is the thing saying?
Horseshoes
and hand grenades, you know, but it felt like we had missed opportunities early in the season against Kentucky. We said, you know what? That does suck, but they got plenty of time. That was like their mulligan, if you will. And getting past Georgia, if I told you that this Ole Miss team would have beat Georgia, you would said there's no way that this team doesn't make a playoff spot, because you got to remember there was a lot of hype behind this program going into 24, Mike. We talked it up. There's plenty of people that said they could be the best team in the conference. But like you said, Lane Kiffin had trouble getting over the big ones. He does. And then he drops two duds that he shouldn't have lost to. So yeah, this one will always have an asterisk by it, that maybe the best team Ole Miss had, but didn't do anything with.
Yeah, and we could sum it up, then we can move on, Shane, perfectly. Cousin Tim, two words. Shit happens. Well, that was last year. This is this year. So let's do an update on Coach Lane Kiffin. Shane, he's got one hell of a record down here, and you know, he's one of the best coaches in the nation, not just the SEC. At 105-52 overall, he's 44-18. At Ole Miss, but check this out, Shane. This is pretty awesome. His record against SEC opponents at Ole Miss. This doesn't count as Tennessee time. I mean, I think it's fair. That was so long ago. This is just at Ole Miss, but 4-0 against Vandy, 4-1. Ole Miss fans got to love that against State. 3-0 Texas A&M, 2-0 South Carolina, 2-1 Kentucky, 3-2 versus Arkansas, 2-2 versus Auburn, 1-0 against Tennessee and Oklahoma, 1-1 against Georgia, 2-3 against LSU, 0-2 against Florida, and 0-4 against Bama. But hell, against every other Ole Miss coach of my lifetime, this stands out to me.
Yeah, it really does. And honestly, a lot of those losses, even you talk about last year, it's one or two drives. It's not like they got blown out. It was just they missed a play here, or they had a busted play there, and it's been close. But man, it just feels like this is a coach that's right there. Everybody talks about Lane Kiffin being the greatest coach in the country, you know, but there's always that negative Nelly beside you saying, well, yeah, but what has he really done down there?
He's won a ton of games. That's what he's done, Shane. And he's going to win some more. So again, there's massive transition on the roster. We're going to get to that in a second, but where there's not transition, Shane, and this will really help. There's continuity in the coaching staff, obviously, yeah. Lane Kiffin, but both coordinators, Pete Golding, outstanding defensive coordinator. He's back. He just had his best season, not only at Ole Miss, but I would argue in his college career. Pete Golding's back. We've got Charlie Weiss Jr. back at offensive coordinator. And don't forget special teams, Shane. Jake Schanover, I think is how you say his name. He's back for his third season as a special teams coordinator. So when you got all this mass transition on the roster, it really, really, really helps to have all the coaches back, and or at least the key coaches. And I think that's something that is going to get overlooked all off season with Ole Miss.
That's correct, man. They know what's expected of them. And a lot of times you see some of those growing pains early, especially when we have new coordinators in particular. But no, this is a team that should be pretty dialed in by the time fall hits.
Cousin Brodo says, Whiffen reminds me of Shane's golf game. Very hyped, but and lots of potential.
Yeah, very raw, you know.
All right, so let's get into the returning production. And I said all those nice things, Shane.
Yeah.
Because we're getting into the returning production, Shane. Where does Ole Miss rank in offense? 18% of the offense is back. That's dead last in the SEC. 6% of the passing. That's 14th in the SEC. But we got Austin Simmons back, Shane. He's the savior. 282 yards last year. 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. And 1 hell of a touchdown drive against Georgia that'll live in infamy. You know, it was one of the greatest drives of all time. At least in Ole Miss history. Rushing yards, 10.7%. That's 16th. Again, dead last in the SEC. We got Dominique Thomas back and Logan Diggs. Receiving yards, here's where we shine, Shane. 48.7% back. That's number 5 in the SEC, led by Caden Lee. He was outstanding in the slot last year. And Daquan Wright, one of the best tight ends in the conference, is back for the Rebels. And then, back to 16th in the SEC, Shane, for offensive line snaps, just 21.1% back. That is, again, dead last in the SEC with Diego Pounds. He's essentially our only returning player with a ton of experience. But we also got Jaden Williams, 175 snaps for Williams, 779 for Diego Pounds. But this is why it's so damn hard to peg Ole Miss. And we're going to get to the transfers in a minute, but again, elite coaching staff, the track record's outstanding, but it's hard for me personally, Shane. I don't know about you. It's very hard to be super confident in what this team is going to look like early on with, dead last 14th in returning production.
Yeah, I just thinking about Diego Pounds. I mean, he had no shot of not being an offensive lineman, did he? You know, name like that. Oh, brother. You know, I look at this team, and there's a couple of things that really stand out, especially when you're talking returning production. And I know Austin Simmons wasn't the guy last year, but it's rare. This is a guy that is highly touted, that there's a lot of SEC programs that absolutely would have loved to have him on his roster last year, and he stuck around. So it's kind of rare air, if you will. Knows the system, going to be coming out. So again, he's not a starter per se, but I feel like he's pretty damn close. You know what I'm saying? He's had plenty of opportunities, and with the receiving room being as banged up and inconsistent as it was last year, well, guess who's coming back? The ones that weren't inconsistent. So I think there is a little bit more. I think that returning production skewed just a little bit on this offensive side, but I'm not I'm not panicked by no means here.
Right, and I believe it was our friend Neil McCready over there at Rebel Grove came in studio. Again, that's another great one if you want to go back and check it if you missed it. But he told me, if I have it correctly, Shane, Austin Simmons had an offer to jump in a portal for $3 million a year. And he stayed because Ole Miss said, hell, we're not letting you go. We'll pay you whatever it costs. I don't know what he's making. But,
yeah,
again, that money speaks volumes. And Ole Miss, given their track record, you know, their transfer portal, they probably could have got the best quarterback that was out there in the portal, but they would rather have Austin Simmons. And I think that says a lot about his potential.
You should see the offers I'm getting, Mike. You know what? Ain't worth it. Staying right here. All right. You just keep on scrolling. But it is kind of funny that all these quarterbacks, Pavia coming out here. I was offered $4 million by the SEC to Sellers. I got an $8 million offer. It's like, damn, there's a lot of offers floating around. So everybody got offered, but apparently nobody hit.
That's true. But you know who always hits on this show, Shane?
Who's that, cuz?
Cousin JR, he's
come
back.
On, son.
He's done it again, Shane.
Thank you, cuz.
What a legend you are, JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Oh, I played the wrong one first.
Legend,
but
Cousin JR has done it again.
And this time, Shane, it's Fowl Ming, our old buddy there, Tennessee fan. Fowl,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to courtesy. The family.
Courtesy of the legend JR. We got to do Georgia for JR at some point. You know what?
At some point. I mean, I'm surprised we didn't lead with him. Right now, we'll go after Texas A&M. Right now, Georgia's in the lead.
Cousin James says, Cracker Barrel's after Shane again. You're talking about your offers.
Yes, absolutely. I got one tomorrow, or no, Thursday. Going to be going golfing with a cousin. So, yeah, he's been trying to persuade me to become a Georgia fan. So, he's got 9 holes, but I don't think he's going to be able to get it.
All right, Shane, let's get back to Ole Miss defensive returning production. And again, it's quite a scene over here, Shane. 21% of the defensive production from last season is back. Where do you think that ranks in the SEC, Shane? Dead last. Once again, tackles, 29.5%. That's 16th in the SEC, so dead last. Mm-hmm. Tackles for loss, 30.4%. That's 15th in the SEC. Interceptions, 16.7%. That's dead last in the SEC. Passes defended, 4.8%. Dead last in the SEC. And DB snaps, 6.4%. Dead last in the SEC. But, we got defensive line snaps, Shane. 42.7%. Number 10 in the SEC. So, again, massive, massive transition on this side of the ball. Not quite as bad as the offense, but really we're splitting hairs because they're both dead last in both offensive and defensive returning production.
Yeah, but I got them big uglies coming back. You know what I'm saying? And again, this is a machine that Lane has created down there in Oxford. So I try not to panic too. Like if there were any team in the SEC, I would panic least. When you're talking transfer or returning production, it's this team because of the consistency Lane has shown bringing new faces in. So, but I do like this defensive line. I think this is an important return for this team especially.
Yeah, they got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not all seen the field, but at least extensively, but they do got a hell of a lot of talent. So we'll get to the defensive line here in a second. We had a couple donations though, Shane, real quick.
Hey,
shout out you. Cousin Vic gave us $5. How do I join the channel? There's a link in the show notes to get that done. So should be pretty easy. If you look in the show notes, should be the top one there. Cousin Brandon, he says, don't let the Rebs get hot, Shane. And buddy, we're about to break down the schedule. They might get really hot real early this season. And then Michael Dunlap, what's up? Currently watching the Gamecock football special. On his, he came in here to let us know he's watching something else.
Oh, you Gamecocks. Another one, I'm not trying to just go all Pavia, but he says that's the game he's got circled right now. This is what he was on Bussing with the Boys. He called out just about everybody, but one of the things that I thought was interesting is that is the game he's looking forward to the most coming up in 2025 is a South Carolina one.
Hmm.
After he says he's going to own Tennessee.
Well,
so I mean,
you know, what I'm looking forward to, Shane, is Steven up. He's donated.
Hey,
a membership, Shane. This time it's Todd with four D's. He likes quadruple D's. Todd does. Todd, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Steven up.
Welcome to the family.
He must have liked what we did with that preview in Alabama to gift this donation.
He's so excited. Yeah. I mean, I told him going undefeated. Bold prediction. They're winning the S. No, wait. No, it's George. Sorry. Sorry, Steven.
Hey, I told you it was in the show notes.
Hey, there's Kirk.
Kirk figured it out. Kirk, welcome to the family. We appreciate you, buddy. Glad you could figure it out. I try to make it easy, Shane, because I know, hell, I don't even know how to do it. You know
welcome what? To the family.
I think whenever you do stuff, you're like, can Shane figure this out? You know, if Shane can get it, then anybody can get it.
All right, let's get into this. This is where Rebels are going to shine, Shane, and all their fans are excited, as they should be. But we got the transfer portal class. And this is the first one, Shane, where there were so many damn guys, I couldn't even fit them all on the graphic. We got 32 transfers in. We got the number 3 portal class, according to On3, 24/7 Sports. This is the first time they've agreed on anything. 24/7 Sports got it as the number 4 transfer portal class. And, man, this buckle up, buddy, because we got us some impact players here. Damian Taylor, running back, rushed for over 1,000 yards. He was second team all Sun Belt. And who knows what kind of line he was playing with at Troy, Shane. He's going to get upgraded here at Ole Miss. How about this guy, Shane? Deshaun Stribling, receiver from Oklahoma State. Check out these statistics. 161 catches, 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns. That's in his career. So I think he can make a big-time impact. Luke Hawes, the tight end from Arkansas. He's been banged up the last couple of years, but I thought when he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in the SEC. And you can say the same thing about cornerback Jalen Braxton, who 2 years ago was all freshman team, SEC. Now he's at Ole Miss, and he's probably going to be one of the starters. And then here's a name to know, Shane, that I would think most SEC fans have never watched this guy play. Linebacker Andrew Jones at Grambling.
Yeah.
122 tackles just last season, 20 and a half tackles for loss. He was an All-American in the SWAC, and had he not gone to Ole Miss, he was headed to South Carolina. So when you got multiple SEC teams on you, you're probably one hell of a player. Patrick Kutis, another former player at Arkansas. Trey Wallace had 720 yards at Penn State last year, 4 touchdowns. Kewon Lacy was a running back, true freshman at Missouri that they didn't want to see get away. Sage Ryan had played all over at LSU the last couple of years. Deuce Alexander, receiver, Wake Forest, and on and on. There's former 5 stars I hadn't even got to, Shane. So just portal crazy here in Oxford, and this is what they need with all this lack of returning production.
Yeah, and I mean, they got some dudes. They got some absolute dudes coming in. And it always reminds me, Ole Miss reminds me of those back in the day when we'd play Madden and then we'd have like the draft. You know what I'm saying? It's like we wouldn't just take over a team. We'd have a draft of all the players. It kind of feels like Ole Miss does that every year. Like every year they have a draft. They bring in a new crop and you know, sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. But I'll tell you what, if you look at the stats of these guys that are coming in, you think they're going to more likely hit than not.
Well, I think what they're trying to do down there, Shane, is like, you know, a lot of these college, we're seeing it, the worst offender, I think, is North Carolina, Bill Belichick, where they're like, we're the 33rd NFL franchise. You know, not that Ole Miss is saying that, but they're running it like the NFL to where you have all these free agents come in every year. And I think that's smart because if you get those guys to the NFL, like I think they broke the all-time record in the last draft for getting guys to the NFL, 8 picks. When you can prove to them, come here, we're going to win big and we'll get you to the NFL. And then we just do it again the next year. That's got to be, and of course they're getting paid while they're at Ole Miss, but all those factors, I think, makes it why Ole Miss is so attractive in the transfer portal.
Maybe that's a better comparison, like an IMG Academy, you know? look at all the kids that got Division I offers when they came down here. That may be what they're doing here, like a satellite school, if you will.
Right. All right, so let's get into the offensive and defensive depth charts, but first with the offense. Hey, buddy, talk about throwing darts against the wall here. The players in red, those are transfers. What do you see, Shane? Damn, the whole thing's in red. You know what I mean? With the bold players are returning starters. So we essentially got three returning starters from last season and a hell of a lot of transfers all across the two deep. So what is the best position group for the tight end, for the Ole Miss Rebels? I think it's receivers and tight ends. With Caden Lee back, he was pretty outstanding, over 800 yards last year. Mm-hmm. But again, you're kind of taking a leap of faith that all these transfers, which they were highly productive, at other schools, but you're kind of assuming that they're going to fit right in here. It's certainly a gamble, but it is what it is. Daquan Wright, he may be one of the top two or three tight ends in the SEC. So give me receivers, tight ends. I think that's the best position group.
Yeah.
Second, I'm going quarterback, Shane, believe it or not, even though Austin Simmons only had 282 yards last year, Austin Simmons. And then I don't know much about this guy, Shane, but I've been reading up on him today.
Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss, 51 touchdowns last year, won the national championship Division II last year at Ferris State. He just sounds like, He's like the Heisman of Division II. So if that's your backup, this could be kind of interesting. Hopefully Austin Simmons is healthy, but maybe in some of these damn blowouts, we get this other guy in here. I'm very fascinated to see what he could do.
How close were you putting running backs up there? Logan had potential. I mean, it wasn't like he had a terrible season, and this Damian kid looks like he's going to be an absolute rock star. I mean, were you kind of close in putting the running back over the quarterback here?
Read my mind, Shane. Running back's next. So, again, Logan Diggs banged up last year, but he's done it in this conference, so we know he can do it. You mentioned Damian Taylor, Kewon Lacy, the transfer from Mizzou, and then, hell, the guy, Dominique Thomas, rushed for nearly 200 yards last year. So we got some options at running back. But I think if Austin Simmons breaks out like I think he will, that was kind of the difference there for me. And that means last but not least, I got the offensive line with one starter back and a couple of transfers. So, man, this is last year. I think it's fair to say, of course, missing Junkins really killed us. But
yeah,
offensive line, there was just time and time and time again where it was third and short. It was fourth and short. And Ole Miss struggled. I mean, hell, they had to put a defensive tackle back here at running back. I thought the offensive line is probably the reason we didn't go to the playoff last year. If we don't go this year, I think they're going to be a big, big factor there as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree here.
All right, so now let's jump to the defensive projected depth chart, Shane. And what do you see?
Lots of red.
Again, that's where we're at with Ole Miss, but give me the linebackers. I think linebackers are number one, Shane. I love Suntarine Perkins. I think he was third team all SEC last year. I think he could be first team this year. He's that good. TJ Dottery's back. He was a starter last year. And then that transfer I was telling you about, Andrew Jones and Jaden Yates. Those are some of our backups here. So we don't play with a lot of linebackers at Ole Miss, but I think they're all quality this year. You were giving love to the defensive line previously. I love the defensive line here. Give me them next for the Ole Miss Rebels. I think that's our second best defensive position group. And then the defensive backs, man, I don't even know who in the hell's going to play there aside from a lot of these transfers. So I have to put defensive backs last because some of these backups, I literally have never even heard of these guys or seen them play. So, defensive backs is probably the biggest question mark I have on this whole team.
Yeah. I think you're right here, brother, but it's talented. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of these kids had potential at other schools and some of them, were, you go back to 24/7 on three. I mean, these guys are top dogs. These weren't kids that were going to Ole Miss 10, 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Right. So they've got a lot of, I wouldn't say inexperienced, but you know what I mean? It's a lot of kids that got a lot of upside, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. And then speaking of upside, Shane.
Yeah.
One last transfer. I mean, it would be Ole Miss without another transfer, right? Kicker. Again, I told you on one of these other previews, I think we're basically done with freshman kickers.
Yeah.
Because there's so much on the line. I don't know you want to run a freshman out there, right? So what do? You go to Western Kentucky, Shade. You get old Lucas Canero, who was 18 and 19 kicking field goals. He was one of the semifinals, I believe, for the Lou Groza, which means kicker of the year. And then now we can get a freshman punter because Lane Kiffin doesn't like to punt anyway.
Yeah. Well,
where do you go, Shane, if you want to get you a punter?
Australia.
Oscar Bird, come on down. Get him his green card. He's from Australia. So I don't know anything about him other than he's a freshman and he's from Australia. But that tells me all I need to know. He's the best damn punter in the nation.
He's,
you know,
in. Yeah. Pat McAfee moves to the edge of his seat.
All right. So the biggest camp questions for the Ole Miss Rebels, Shane. Mm-hmm. I had something similar for Ty Simpson, but Austin Simmons, it's not, you know, is he ready? Because I think he's ready. But is he ready for all that comes with being an SEC quarterback, being the face of the franchise? Everywhere he goes in Oxford, people are going to notice him. Is he ready for that? Is he ready for media days? Will they even bring him to media days? All the hype, all the glitz, all the glamour. Is Austin Simmons ready for it? It's a little bit easier, Shay, when you're learning under Jackson Dart, who's about to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Now you're the man.
Yeah.
Are you ready for it? That's a big question I have.
No, that's a great question. And I do wonder. I feel like I think it's good to bring him to a place like Media Days, you know, just to own up, like, this is our captain now. And if you don't, it makes me feel like you're hiding something. I thought about that with a couple of schools last year. It's like, and it turned out to be the case, you know, the kids weren't ready. So I think bringing Simmons out like this would be very, very good for the program. But this is a guy that he can't afford to lollygag. It's, you know, they got him on a pedestal right now. But if we've got a bad game, then all of a sudden that base gets a little weak.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year obviously was the last dance, right?
Yeah.
What's the motivation this year? I'm not saying they won't be motivated, but
Lane's love life.
How about, I mean, this is a crazy statistic. I had to double and triple check it, Shane.
Yes.
Across the entire two deep, offense and defense. So we're talking 22 players here. Mm-hmm. We got five seniors. Seniors across the two deep that were on the team last year. Now there's a couple that are transferred in, right? But mm-hmm. if you're transferred in, I'm not downing you, but I am questioning how committed are you to this program? What does it mean to you? What happens if there's adversity early? Yeah. I think last year there was with Kentucky, but that was such a senior laden team. They were able to respond and they were able to come back and they were able to beat Georgia. But if that happens this year, how do they respond? I think that is a huge question for Ole Miss.
And it feels like that's one we say a lot. But, you know, Jackson Dart, I mean, he did half the recruiting last year. And there was no doubt that was the guy. You know, I feel like – and then there was a couple on defense. You know, I felt like that's what we had. But I'm with you, man. Who steps up? Or, you know, you're probably going to see those guys at media day. So, I mean, coach is going to find the captains of this football squad, but you know, it's got to be somebody. And I don't know if it has that identity yet. That's a good one, man. I may have put that one up top of the list.
And I'm not comparing Ole Miss to Florida State either, because we know Florida State's garbage and all that. But they did go undefeated 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They did essentially what Ole Miss is doing now, where they bring in all these transfers. And then they had some adversity, and the whole thing crumbled on them.
Yeah.
So, again, that can happen. I certainly, we know Lane Kiffin, his program's on much more solid footing than that, but that is a huge one. And then how about this last one, Shane? With a lack of hype, mm-hmm. will that hurt or will that help? I think it might help this team. I think that's a huge question too.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of pressure last year, and you know, part of that pressure led to expectations, and maybe that's why they overlooked a team like Kentucky or Florida. You know, they just expected to go down there and win, and it didn't happen. So yeah, I feel like when you don't wear the bullseye like you did last year, it makes things a little bit easier, but you better damn believe there's a little pressure. Lane doesn't want to be the guy that almost made it. You know, he wants to sit back and say, hey, why not Ole Miss? Why can't we be a powerhouse? So hell, there's an article came out today, you know, dub Texas, the next dynasty, you know. Well, how do you do that? Well, you start beating teams like that. And I feel like that's what Ole Miss is kind of got in their bullseye.
Yeah, last year, I think they listened to, you know, what is Lane always tweeting about? The rat poison. Yeah. I think they bought into it, yeah. Which we were very guilty of feeding it to them. We are. All right, so here's an update of the upcoming schedule. Shane, over under 8.5 is the win total. Odds to win the SEC, 13-1. Odds to win the national championship, 26-1. So still, despite all this uncertainty, still very high odds,
yeah,
to win the SEC, to win the national championship. You ready to break down, Shane, the schedule, win, loss, or toss?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, Shane's favorite part besides picking the games here. But I'm going right here. Win, loss, or toss. I got 7 games for Ole Miss, mm-hmm, that should be a win, in my opinion. Obviously, Georgia State at home, at Kentucky, Arkansas at home, Tulane at home, Washington State at home, Citadel at home, and at Mississippi State. Do you disagree with any of the should-be wins?
I do not. I do not disagree with any of those.
Okay, so then I have the only likely loss at Georgia. Would you agree or disagree?
I want to disagree, but I can't. I cannot disagree with that one. There's one that I may add there, but you know who that is.
Florida Gators. All right, so the tosses, I got LSU at home, yeah, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home, Florida at home. Do you disagree with any of those?
Again, I'll just, the LSU one, I'm leaning more toward a loss, but I do think the toss-ups are perfect here, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I think,
yeah, I always forget. I apologize, Shane. I forgot you were on Brian Kelly's payroll.
Oh, well, he wasn't just paying for recruits, you know? He's part of the offers I've been receiving.
All right, so let's break it down week by week, Shane. And if you're new to this, how we like to do this is best case scenario. We're looking at this optimistically.
Yes.
Trying to be, you know, maybe a little homerish if you want to say, but I'm trying to be realistic, but also, can Ole Miss win this game? Can they not? And hell, I've had ones on here that I have as a loss, and I still think the team can win it. So
yeah,
just because I don't have it listed on win, loss, or toss doesn't mean you can't win it. So let's not waste any more time, Shane, because week one, come on. I know this is like the damn, we should probably put this toss, not to jinx our ass, but it is Georgia, yeah, State coming to town. Get the hell out of here. That's going to be a big win for them Ole Miss Rebels, don't you think?
Yes, and definitely one you can't overlook. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that have overlooked that program and wish they didn't, so including Vanderbilt last year. So, yep, yeah, this is one that you've got to hit the ground running. And those, I do worry a little bit, Mike, not that I'm afraid that they'll lose it, but I'm afraid that they'll win it ugly, and then there'll be like some doubters that are kind of creeping in. You know, Ole Miss, I feel like there's going to be some growing pains early in the season, and this is a dangerous team to have on your schedule, but I do think it's a win. I don't know why I talked about it.
Now, it's not going to happen, Shane, right? It's not going to happen. We're not, this is Ole Miss preview.
Yes.
But if it did happen, if Georgia State wins this, We got to invite them to the SEC. That, I mean, they've earned it at that point, right?
I mean, they're in the footprint, right? You know, they're in the South. So.
All right, no, I'm kidding. All right, so then week two, revenge, yeah. Shane. They beat us last year at home. Now we're going to Lexington. This may be one of the biggest games of the entire season because, buddy, you cannot be losing to this Kentucky. This may be the worst Kentucky team of the Mark Stoops era. And that's really saying so. Well, you know, the first year or two was pretty awful. But maybe since then, which was about 12 years ago, this would be, even though it is on the road, I think this would be completely inexcusable to lose. I don't care about all our new pieces. I think Ole Miss wins this, and I think they win it on the road by double digits.
Yeah, they win big. This feels to me similar to that 24 South Carolina face up. You know, when a lot of chirping coming into it and one team came to play that day. I feel like this is getting past week one. This is the game they got their eyes on. There's no way they're overlooking Kentucky here, but it's not going to be easy. I give Stoops a hard time. I give Kentucky a hard time. I do think that there is some fight in those boys. It's just, can they hold on? I think Ole Miss has just got too much depth there. So give me Ole Miss by a couple scores.
Yeah, and then next game is very interesting, Shane. It is a home game, thankfully, but it's Arkansas.
Yeah.
And there have been some damn battles between Arkansas and Ole Miss over the years. Now, we went up there and we whooped their ass in Fayetteville, so that gives me a lot more confidence. But again, this is a completely new-look team.
Yeah.
So we can't take a ton from that, but this is a type of game, I think, that Sam Pittman can really, really beat back the narrative if he were able to win in Oxford. And I think it's, I don't want to call it a toss up, but I think it's much closer to a 60-40 game. Mm-hmm. Last year aside, again, last year was a beatdown, but essentially all the other ones in this series with these two coaches have been damn near toss ups. So
yeah.
I don't think this is a given by any means that Ole Miss is just going to stomp Arkansas again, but I'll give him the edge because it is at home. So I'm going 3-0 Arkansas, or excuse me, 3-0 Ole Miss beating Arkansas. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of talk about Arkansas, you know, but, you know, how do you beat Arkansas? You go up there and you take some of their team and they took a lot of them. So I do think that this is a great game. It was a fun game last year. Now, obviously if you're not an Arkansas fan, you probably didn't enjoy it as much, but it was exciting to watch. A lot of offense in this football game. I'm expecting the same thing here. There's going to be some fireworks. It's going to be a shootout. And I just think Ole Miss optimistically will come away the victor here.
Yeah. Now, a very interesting game the following week, Shane. Tulane comes to town with future NFL head coach John Summerall, or should be SEC coach John Summerall. Who knows? But again, this is a pesky team, and this is, you know, there's always one of these on the calendar, Shane, across the SEC. Like Hugh Freeze when he was at Liberty, everybody had that Arkansas game circled, and as soon as he won it, they said, "Well, by God, he's coming back to the SEC," and they're right. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This is a real opportunity, I think, for John Summerall to his name's already hot in the coaching circle. This is an opportunity to get it scorching hot. That's a lot of words, like you said, to say Ole Miss going to whoop that ass. Come on, 4-0. We're going 4-0 right out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a team that picked up a lot of heat toward the end of the season. It's not one that you can overlook, and I think this was a – didn't they play a while back?
I believe it was two years ago.
Yeah.
At Tulane. And basically Tulane should have won that football game. But
it was a close damn football game, you know. And I thought they were going to blow Tulane out, but they didn't. So you got to be careful with this one. This is one that you can overlook, but you shouldn't, because, like you said, we got good coaching. They got a lot more talent than they did the last time these two teams played. So, yes, good football game, but – Tulane ain't win this damn thing.
Maybe, like you said, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Here's a reality. We don't have to spend much time on this because who the hell cares about G5? But those guys, their rosters are getting picked apart.
Yeah.
His quarterback's at Duke. His running back's at another school. So They just can't compete in this modern age. So, all right, now we get into the heavyweight showdown, Shane. LSU. Come on, buddy. I believe the home team has won the last four in this series. But before that, LSU has been pretty dominant, as you would expect, you know, winning SEC national championships. But it's a new era here in Oxford. Shane, I know you love them Tigers, but I think Lane Kiffin's got their number. Come on, buddy, give me 5-0 for them Ole Miss Rebels beating LSU. And I'm saying this in part because I'm not as high on LSU as you are.
Yeah.
But by no means will this be a blowout. This will be a four-quarter ball game. It'll come down to the wire. But I just think Ole Miss is better coached. I think they may even have a better quarterback, believe it or not. I know Garrett Nussmeier gets all this love, as he should. He's a good player. But again, we're not saying Austin Simmons here in mid-June.
Yeah.
We're talking Austin Simmons game five, where he's going to have all these games under his belt. I think he could take a big step forward. If this was week two, week three, I'd probably take LSU. But I think by week five, I think Ole Miss will have found its footing. And I think they're going to be a hell of a lot better team than they are right out the gate.
Well, I'm an LSU fan this season. I feel like this is their year. It's kind of like last year's Ole Miss, the last dance. We got a quarterback back. We went out. We got the pieces that he needed around him. It feels like backs against the wall. We've got to have this thing. And I do think Coach Kelly surprises a few folks this year, and at the end of the season, most likely going to be dancing in the playoffs. There are going to be some growing pains along the way, and I'm worried about like week one, obviously, because Coach Kelly just doesn't win week one for some reason. This is another one that if you're to ask an LSU fan, they're like, hey, we're going to beat them again. But there's one thing about this game is it feels personal. You know, I felt like there were some personal games played last year. You talk about the South Carolina Mizzou game. Mm-hmm. You talk about the Oklahoma, Josh Heupel. It feels like there's these games that come around so often that are a little bit more personal, and you feel that. I talked with Stephen Garcia not too long ago, and he says, you know, Steve Spurrier had a little extra pep in his step when it was Florida week. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And these guys were talked about weeks prior to the game last year. You remember the infamous LSU button, but I feel like this is the year that LSU comes to town and gets another loss, because Lane Kiffin is, even though I had it as a loss, optimistically, I do think if Ole Miss hits on all cylinders, which that's the way I look at this as a ceiling,
right,
there's no reason they can't beat LSU at home. So give me another win for them Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah, don't forget, Shane. So Lane Kiffin, every opportunity he gets, he likes to talk about Brian Kelly doing his dancing. Yeah. Brian Kelly likes to talk about Lane Kiffin tweeting. So
yeah, this is personal. It's a personal game.
You know what's not personal, Shane?
What's that?
Whooping Washington State's ass. Come on, John Mateer's gone. All their players are gone. I mean, it's a nice story that last year what they did, but they're going to come down to Oxford and get waxed.
Yeah. I mean, I do like seeing them at game day. You know, they really do have, they give it an A+ support for their football squad, but there's no way they're beating Ole Miss here.
And if we're 6-0,
yeah,
going into Athens, man, this could be college game day.
Yeah.
This could be game of the year. You know, there was so much hype with it last year, and for Ole Miss, it lived up to it. For Georgia, not quite. So, you know, there's going to be some revenge factor here. I would love to see this dream season continue, Shane, but I think even if it is, I think it's going to be a nightmare for Ole Miss. Yeah. I really do, because they whooped Georgia's ass so bad. So give me Georgia. I think Georgia wins this one probably pretty comfortably.
Yeah, comfortably. I do think it's going to be a great football game. It's tough to win in Athens. We just did home field advantage, and they've only done it once. And is this the Ole Miss team that's going to go down there in the last 6 years and get them another victory? It could happen, but I don't think it does happen, Mike. I'm right there with you. I feel like this is going to be a closer game than maybe you're thinking. But, yeah, it could come down the wire, and I'm going to lean toward the home team here. So give me Georgia Bulldogs in this one.
Yeah. And then, you know, next week is no slouch either. Again, we'll have to see what Oklahoma turns into.
Yeah.
But you're going on the road. You're in Norman, Oklahoma. Are they red hot, or have they faltered? I mean, it's so hard to tell. But they do have Michigan week two. They got Auburn week four. They got Texas game six, all leading up to this one. So there's an opportunity, Shane. Brent Venables fired and John Mateer. We come like, oh, well, maybe he did look like $1 million at Washington State, but this is the damn SEC. You know, that could be the narrative. And Ole Miss could be in shambles. Or excuse me, Oklahoma could be in shambles when Ole Miss goes to them. But hell, Oklahoma was in shambles last year, Shane, and this was a pretty competitive ball game.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma's going to be a hell of a lot better. And even the biggest Ole Miss fan, I don't think you could say they got more talent than they had last year. So, I think we spiral a little bit here. I'm going Oklahoma in Norman to get this win.
Well, it's crazy you've done that, because I was thinking, in my opinion, one of those next two games after the Georgia may be another loss. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's Oklahoma. I'm not going to sit here and say it's South Carolina. But those are some very tough physical teams that, you know, if you're coming off this undefeated run, which we think Ole Miss can do, and then you get the wind out of your sails down there in Athens, then sometimes there's a little bit of a hangover effect. Now, we may be wrong, but I do think there is a loss of brewing in those next two games. I just don't know which one it is. So we'll stick with Oklahoma since you picked them.
Yeah, it's just, again, I think it's on our neutral fields, things like that. But in this conference, we all know it. Going on the road is, that's when you get beat. You know what?
But we didn't say that on last year's preview. It's not like we're picking on Ole Miss. Ole Miss may be a team that surprises, and we're like 6 weeks in and we're like, holy shit, how did we miss this juggernaut? You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
That's the true ceiling of this football team. It could be an undefeated football season. More likely, though, I think there's a couple losses lingering around out there, and you're just trying to identify which one it is, and hopefully it's not one that's going to keep you out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the playoff, I think it'll be, you know, playoffs on the line. Mm-hmm. With South Carolina coming to town, quite frankly, it'll probably be playoffs on the line for the Gamecocks too, because they got one hell of a gauntlet in the middle of their season as well, with the likes of Alabama and on the road at Missouri. And so, you know, playoffs or bust potentially when South Carolina comes down here. Lenore Sellers may very well be starting to warm up, Shane. When I know he's got an $8 million offer out there, I'm like, my God, I had him probably number two quarterback, and I may have even underrated him there. You know what I mean? So this by no means will be a given. I think this is going to be one of the, I know last year was a complete blowout, but I don't think it's a blowout this year, but I can't get last year out of my head either. So give me Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss bounces back. I think they beat South Carolina at home.
$8 million. You know, I don't know about this. It still feels crazy to me. It's like that old, you talk to them old farts and they're like, yeah, I had a shot to play for the Yankees, but my dad wanted me to go work in the mines. I'm like, yeah, okay. That's the decision it came down to. I think if $8 million is truly on the plate, we probably, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Sellers all in.
He's trying to build his legacy in Columbia. You know what?
Yeah, boy. He's it'll be $15 million before you know it.
It's like a fishing story. Yeah. So who do you got winning the game? Ole Miss hosting South Carolina.
Like I said, I went back and forth on these. You know, this is a very dangerous team. In fact, I almost worry more about these two teams because of just the quarterback presence. John Mateer, Lenore Sellers, back to back. I mean, you talk about some absolute dudes. We're talking about guys that are playing next year in the NFL. So it could happen. I feel like I would give South Carolina a little bit more of the edge if it were in South Carolina, you know, especially at night. I felt like they kind of got screwed last year. So I'm going to go with a win here.
And we're not going to waste any time. Citadel.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah, another win. So, again, we got playoffs on the line Florida coming to town, Shane. All I heard was Lane Kiffin was headed to Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Only problem is Florida didn't fire their head coach. But what they do got is what a hell of a quarterback themselves and DJ Lagway. I think this is going to be his best team yet. That is Billy Napier's down in the swamp. The only problem, Shane, is game ain't in the swamp. It's in Oxford, Shane. Upset. I'm going with the Gators.
Oh,
I think the Gators get it done. Because, hell, quite frankly, Shane, I think the Gators are going to be better, if not much better than last year. I think Ole Miss will be a little bit, if not much worse. So, I mean, it's like, I can't. It doesn't make sense to me to sit here and say, well, yeah, Ole Miss going to beat them. You know what I mean? And I know it's at home, but hell, we just did the home ranking show and we didn't even consider Ole Miss as a top 10 home field advantage. So again, I could be wrong. You know, they win a lot down there in Oxford under Lane Kiffin, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. If Florida's better and Ole Miss is not as good, I got to take Florida in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Florida's preview, right? No, wait, no, it's Ole Miss's preview. Jeez, get this Florida love out of here. How many times I got to say, you guys, DJ got offered $25 million to go play somewhere else, but he decided to come back because he loves his coach, whatever. I feel like this could be an interesting matchup, mainly because it's going to be later in the season. What does the Florida Gators look like by this week? What does Ole Miss look like by this week? You know, I do think that competitive depth, this is where that really comes in. We joke about quarterbacks. Who's the starting quarterbacks at this point? There may be a chance one of these guys are banged up. They already are. So I'm not. I'm looking at this through an Ole Miss glass, you know, a little skewed and not so much, like you said, as a homer, but optimistically as a ceiling. There's no way we should have lost to Florida last year and definitely not going to lose to them this year on our home field. So give me an Ole Miss win here.
Okay. And then the Egg Bowl, Shane, what a game this is. I know Ole Miss fans are enjoying it the way it is, but personally, I like it when it's more of a blood feud and it's competitive but we know it ain't that anymore, at least not currently, Shane. So I think Ole Miss takes care of business and does it quite easily, even if it is on the road. So, hell, even with a hiccup or two that maybe fans don't agree with, 9-3, which is the same record as last year, I think that's a pretty solid outing for Ole Miss.
Yeah, Jerry says, I can't stand Florida because all the years they beat the Vols. So I got 10-2, Mike. I got 10-2 as a ceiling for the Ole Miss Rebels. I feel like they're going to be kind of like last year, a fringe playoff team. Stars are going to have to line up. There's some tough matchups. Think about the quarterbacks that these guys are going to have to face. I think arguably four of the top seven quarterbacks in the country. You know, you look at Arkansas, I forgot about Nuss. You got Nuss down there. You've got
Mateer,
Lenore Sellers,
DJ Lagway,
brother.
Zach Calzada.
let's not get too carried away here. But that's five of the top seven quarterbacks, top eight quarterbacks in the country,
right?
In my opinion. And I think, yeah, anything can happen, and it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be exciting because I do think Ole Miss defense takes a step back, but I think the offense takes a step forward and look for a lot more shootouts, in my opinion.
Right, and again, who in the hell knows how this is actually going to play out, but, you know, my logic here, Shane, I know you're giving me a hard time with this Florida, and probably rightly so, but in my mind, again, I didn't think they'd beat Georgia last year, and they whooped them.
Right.
So maybe you can get that one in Athens, but I don't see it. I think you could win one of LSU, Florida. Mm-hmm. So I gave you LSU, but I didn't give you Florida. You could flip flop that. That's believable to me as well. You lose to LSU, mm-hmm. but you beat Florida. You know, so it's one and the same. And then just like you said, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home.
Yeah.
I think you go 50-50 on those two. So that's kind of how I got to 9-3. But that's also why, Shane, most important game to win or games, excuse me, to meet expectations. So again, we could just say Georgia, or we could just go down that list. But I'm saying LSU, Florida, and South Carolina for Ole Miss this year. And what's great about this, Shane, every single one of those is at home.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you are to guarantee me, Shane, that Ole Miss beats LSU and beats Florida, I think they're going to the college football playoff. If you can guarantee me that they're beating LSU and they're beating Florida, because that tells me they're probably going to lose to Georgia still at Georgia. And then, like I just said, they'll lose to one of Oklahoma or South Carolina. But again, if you beat LSU and you beat Florida, you're at 10-2, you're in the playoff.
Yeah. That's it. And, you know, I would put like 3B as that Oklahoma matchup just because that could be a game that keeps you out, just like Florida did last year. So if Ole Miss is going to be special this season, they have got to own home field advantage. And again, they're not on the top of the list when it comes to, you know, being feared in Oxford, but you know, if you keep winning, then all of a sudden people start talking about that. They did that with Georgia. They've done that with Bama. They're doing it with some of these other teams. You know, you keep winning, you keep being a dominant place to play, regardless of the size of the stadium, it doesn't matter if you walk out with the loss. So yeah, gotta own the home.
Yep. Well, Shane, I think you owned this home on this one. So
nice.
That didn't make any sense. But any closing thoughts here before we wrap up his Ole Miss fall camp preview?
No, I like this one, Mike, because again, because it's a new team, new identity. You know, there's a part of my soul that just thinks they're going to be good because Lane Kiffin's a part of it, and there's a part of me that thinks they may flop. This is the most, I just told you the ceiling. What do you think the floor for this team would be, Mike? Let's just real quick.
So if things go wrong. Yeah.
Like what would be the floor of the Ole Miss Rebels here?
Well, that's a great thing because the schedule, you know, we just had over the weekend, we had our guy Kelly Ford on the show and he says, yeah, the according to his logic or his analytics, what have you, the floor he thinks is 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably go one ring down. I'd say 7-5, but that's worst case.
Yeah.
But hell, he may be right. Again, there's not a ton of losable games on here.
Yeah. I do love this schedule. A lot of home games.
Mm-hmm.
I questioned the bye right before state. I wish they could have moved that after Oklahoma or before the Oklahoma game. That would have been nice. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel like 8-4 could be that. 7-5, something really bad happened. Maybe injuries or something along those lines. But yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. And that's what I'm saying. When you're looking at 7-10, you know, that's a nice little window to live in. Ole Miss, you could enjoy that window. It's been a long time since you've been able to sit in there for a while.
Right. I mean, there was years, Shane, where they were just praying for 7-5.
Golly, I'm telling you.
And now we're saying if literally everything goes wrong, you'll go 7-5.
Yeah. If the world implodes, no, that's terrible. I shouldn't say that, but if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you're down to your third string quarterback and the offensive line's in shambles, you're still probably going to get into 8-4. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Things are pretty good down there. Yeah. Except you don't have a mascot. Colonel Reb's out. The shark, I don't know if that's a thing. This dog floating around everywhere. That's the only, we got to lock down the mascot situation.
Yeah, and Cousin Brandon, he's the reason we did Ole Miss today, Shane. He just gave us a donation. We appreciate you, buddy. But he says, I appreciate the fall camp preview. 10-2, Reb. So he's close. That's exactly what you said as well. So I think that's, if you're a diehard Ole Miss fan, I think that's your expectation going into the year. And it should be, thanks to this man right here, Shane, who all he does is win 10, 11, 8, and 10 games. And they got a quarterback that, you know, people around that program think is the most gifted one they've had, and they just had a damn first-round draft pick. So It's a hell of a time to be an Ole Miss Rebel. You know what?
Truly is. Truly is. And speaking of, Ole Mace asked when y'all get into the Grove, what would it take to get SEC Mike down to Ole Miss? Is there a perfect scenario? Is there a game that you're looking at like you would? I mean, you love the Florida Gators.
Goes undefeated. I want to go down there when it's. I want to see Tennessee at Ole Miss. That's what I want to see.
Let's do that one.
You know what?
Yeah. Next time Tennessee's in Ole Miss, we're going down there.
Yeah, that'll be a hell of a game. You know what?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to grab mustard and golf balls. I'll be ready.
All right, buddy. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, tomorrow, Texas. And then we're closing out the week with Texas A&M. So it's all in the Lone Star to close us out. But we appreciate you. We'll catch you all in the next one.
All right. See you guys. Hotty toddy.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.